Alright ladies and gents, welcome back to the channel again today, where we are going to be looking at and tracking the demise of the UK economy, and in particular looking at how, again, yet again, for I don't know how many months running this is now, the top leading Nobel Prize winning economists and the best economists in the UK have got it wrong again, and inflation has gone back into double digits. Now, I've got to say, I'm not surprised by this at all, because I haven't really changed my forecast in the last 9 months or so on UK inflation. I still think we're probably going to peak somewhere around 13%, maybe 12.5%. I think that's going to be the peak in the first quarter of 2023. But again, that all depends on the monetary and fiscal policy, monetary Bank of England, fiscal is the government. If they keep fighting one another like this, you're going to see inflation getting worse. This is why they need to work together. The government needs to cut unnecessary spending. I'm not talking about necessary spending, but they need to cut down on wastage and unnecessary spending. And the Bank of England needs to follow their plan of tightening, and that means bonds, but it also means interest rates. Now, I know that's really painful, and people do not like hearing me talk about these things, but sometimes it's better to take the short-term pain than have the long-term pain. Just look at what happened during the Great Depression. If they had done it differently, the Great Depression would probably have never happened in the first place. So sometimes it is better to have a year or 2 years, or sometimes even 3 years of pain, than have it become 10 years of pain, or a deflationary spiral, or a hyperinflationary spiral where everyone just loses their life savings. And I know this sounds alarmist, but it is possible. We could see, if everything continues the way it keeps going, you could see a hyperinflationary spiral. You could see bail-ins, not bail-outs this time. You could see runs on banks, banks collapsing, pension funds completely collapsing. All of this stuff is hypothetically possible. And I would say the most worrying thing about all of this is that I was just reading again. I think most of you know I read for sometimes 3 to 4 hours per day. At the moment, it's a lot less than that because I'm putting out so many videos and doing so much research. But just yesterday, I was reading some really interesting books that go back to the 1700s, 1750s period, talking about a lot of this stuff. And it goes right the way through to the 1900s. And it talks about the hyperinflationary scenarios and the Weimar Republic. People get upset if I say Weimar Republic, the Weimar Republic, mainly you Germans. But in that book and in that sort of research that he talked about, where he tracked all of these different recessions and depressions, he basically said that in almost every single time when the government has a choice between tightening spending, cutting the lifestyles down, cutting everything down in terms of business and military spending, in almost every single time, they never choose to do that. They always choose the opposite approach. And that leads to, in most cases, a period of hyperinflation. So I just want to explain that, because I know people say, oh, that would never happen. Hyperinflation now, that's impossible. We're so much more developed and refined as a species than those barbarians 100 years ago. And yeah, all these sort of ridiculous comments. And it's funny because I bet if you went back to Germany 100 years ago, and they probably said the same thing. Oh, we're so much more refined than people in the 1800s. You go to the 1800s, they probably said the same thing about, you get the idea. And even the Roman Empire, remember, they did clippings. They clipped the gold coins and then they clipped the silver coins and they debased their currency. So you can trace this back a long, long way. And the governments always choose the easy option. They never choose the hard option because of egos. They want to be the ones that are the savior. They don't want to be that man in the 1970s and 80s that put interest rates in the USA up to 20% to head off inflation. But let's get a little more granular now then on this UK inflation rate, and let's go to the shared screen. Now, this is the calculator I'm most excited to show you in a moment. and the crazy numbers in terms of inflation, which is why I don't believe that the UK inflation rate is really 10% as they are saying it is. I think it's more like 15 to 17%, maybe 20% at the high end, but it's definitely not 10% in my eyes. UK double digit inflation seen lasting through 2022, survey says. The Bank of England's base rate may almost double by early next year. Now, you look at this chart that they have, and they keep updating this all the time, which is quite amusing. So originally, this black line here was coming over here. It's like 5%, then it went to 6%, then it went to 7%. Now it's up around 10%, and they don't expect it to go much above 10%. However, I still do think we're probably going to see around 12, 13% before we go into a period of disinflation. Disinflation is a lowering of inflation. It is not deflation. So what is the dire outlook then? So this is UK GDP quarter on quarter, and already it is low at around 0.7%, so very low. Q2 at around 0.2%, and then Q3 is forecasted to go into the negative. Going into these periods of negative puts us into an official recession. However, if you don't include all the currency creation they have done over the last, well, however many years it's been now, this would already be negative, which is why I believe that technically we're already in a recession as of Q1 of 2022. And these are the UK Bank of England interest rates then. We're at 2.25% as of right now recording this video. But on the 3rd of November is the next meeting. I realistically, based on today's numbers, I'm expecting the Bank of England to push this up to 3%, so 0.75% of a rise or 75 basis points. Another Bloomberg article then, soaring food prices. So this is what they are blaming this inflation on, which is what I would somewhat agree with. I think there's a lot more to it, but let's just get into the food price inflation today and focus on this. Drove UK inflation back into double digits in September, intensifying pressure on the government and central bank to act. That is why I think they're going to go for a severe rate rise on the 3rd of November. The consumer price index rose 10.1% last month from 9.9% the month before, according to the ONS. That matched a 40-year high reached in July and exceeded economists' expectations for 10%. So what does Bloomberg Economics say then? The climb in UK's inflation back into double digits in September leaves the Bank of England with little choice but to keep pushing rates higher. Now, you've got to, and they're also saying the same thing, 75 basis points. You've got to think about your mortgage then. For those of you who are on a mortgage that is about to expire very shortly, I keep getting asked this all the time. Yes, I do think rates are going to keep going up. So waiting and waiting and waiting as long as possible may not be a good idea. The ONS said food prices rose by 14.8% from a year ago. I mean, that is huge. Also, the strongest increase in more than 40 years. Furniture and household goods were another driver, rising 10.7% in September. There were also signs of stickier inflation at the wholesale level. Producer prices, measuring the cost of goods leaving factories. So remember, this is where it starts. It begins with energy, then it's the factories, then it's retail. So producer prices, measuring the cost of goods leaving factories, rose 15.9% from a year ago in September. That tells you right there, ladies and gentlemen, that remember, energy, high input costs, the factory, high input costs. So you're seeing 16% there in the factory. That gets passed on to the retailer, which is where you buy from. So we know there's still more inflation yet to come. I know they're forecasting 9% next month or whatever they're saying. It's not going to be 9% next month. That is a huge drop of 1.1% in inflation. I just can't see it coming down that heavily. I think it's probably going to be similar, maybe 0.3% out from what we're seeing right now. But we're not going to see, again, you've got to understand that the media and the Bank of England and the government and everybody else, they do this deliberately to keep you calm. Because if you knew the truth of what is actually happening with this inflation, what's happening to your savings in the bank, what's happening to your wages that aren't keeping up with inflation, people would be on the street tomorrow. Well, the funny thing is actually people are on the street. You just don't know about it. Some of these protests have tens of thousands of people, but it's not put on the news. What is put on the news is, what did I see yesterday? Some guy in a dress and some sort of a boob tube or whatever you call those things, I don't know women's clothing, he was spraying orange paint all over Aston Martin. That's what was on the news. And then some girls in a supermarket pouring milk all over the floor. They were the sort of big headlines that I saw yesterday. It was everywhere. It was on all these news channels. And that's why you know that they are trying to push these agendas. And then even though they say, oh, look at this, terrible, look what these people were doing. No, they want you to think that way because they want you to start seeing and getting sort of turned around some of these sort of policies and all these activists that are sat on the roads and putting oil and all over stuff and vandalizing statues. They want you to see all of this stuff. So where do we get to? That was slower than the previous month, but slightly above expectations. Raw material prices rose 20%, also above expectations. So again, this is the next input cost. The raw materials and the energy goes into the producer prices. The producer prices goes into the retail prices. What else do we need to pay attention to? That is business confidence. And according to this survey, it is now withering away. Confidence among British businesses has dropped precipitously. They love that word, don't they? Precipitously. Damaged by a toxic combination of rising costs and economic turmoil, survey showed on Wednesday. The FSB, which is the Federation of Small Businesses, said its latest small business confidence index fell to minus, so this is negative now, 35.9% from negative 24.7%. This is the worst reading outside of the you know what lockdowns. The surveys underline the threat of recession and scale of the task facing new finance minister Jeremy Hunt. We got to make sure we pronounce the Hunt correctly. If you've seen all the news channels this week, they've been getting his last name wrong. I wonder if that was an accident or not. In turning Britain's economy around, the FSB said 68% of small businesses had raised pay over the last year, with wage increases averaging 4.5%. Now, let's get on to this calculator then, because this is really interesting here. So they're giving you some sort of typical things here, sliced bread and milk. But let's clear this and let's go for activewear. So I just clicked this button here. More activewear is up on average 11.5%. Okay, I'm sure people can go without that. What about a full English breakfast, which is the British favorite here? Well, that is up 14%. I mean, baked beans up almost 35%, tomatoes 13.8%, spreadable butter 25.6%, bacon 16.2%, sliced white bread almost 15%. This is why I just don't believe inflation is what they say, because you've got two types of inflation. You've got the sort of what the government puts out, but then you've got the inflation that most affects the consumers. What about a meal out then? Well, that is up by 10%. A night in, that's up by 7.2%. Vegetarian meal, oof, the vegetarians are not going to be happy with this. They're getting hammered here. 18.5% on bread rolls, 25.7% on chips, 13.8% tomatoes, veggie burgers up 20%, mayonnaise up 25.2%. But let's just clear this a moment. I'm just going to grab some random items. Let's grab the first one here. A4 printed paper. Oh my goodness, 43.5%. Aluminium, or as the Americans say, aluminum foil. I know this is going to be up because they banned production of it. Let's see this one. 26.4%. Let's go for, what else can we grab here? Okay, cheese. I know they've been destroying dairy. Let's look at cheese. That is up 24.5%. Let's grab a random one here. Let's go for coffee pods. Let's see coffee pods. They are up 10.3%. Next one, random one. Gammon, let's see gammon, up 7%. MDF wood, let's see that one. That is up 17.4%. A t-shirt then, up 10%. So again, I just picked some random things here. I didn't pre-screen any of these. And you can see just from looking at this, that is 17.1%, just from some random items that I think most of us have in our home. So where they get the 10% figure from, again, I don't think this applies to the average household, which is why I've said, and this has just proven it, I think it's somewhere between 15 and 20% at the high end that real inflation is. It is the government and the Bank of England who have created too much currency, new currency, which is what inflation is. It's a monetary phenomenon of increasing the currency supply. Yes, there's also some side angles of energy and food. But again, that is also due to the government. People don't really understand this if you speak to the average person on the street. They don't realize that the sanctions have created the food price inflation. The sanctions have created the energy inflation. And that is now hitting what we just looked at, the businesses, producer prices, raw materials. This is all from the government and the central bank. And it's the same in every other country. Another article then about UK businesses. British company owners are pulling investments as a crisis triggered in Westminster pushes up borrowing costs and hits confidence in an economy once seen by businesses as a haven of stability. And that is true. People have always seen the UK as a safe haven for business. And this is what I don't think the Chancellor or the Business Secretary really appreciates, or why they don't listen to the industry bodies. In the last month, business leaders have had to contend with radical changes to tax. So tax are going up. A collapse in the pound, meaning that imports are more expensive. A surge in borrowing costs because of rising interest rates. They've had to reverse the tax cuts and slash spending. A two-year scheme to help homes and businesses with high energy costs has now been cut to 6 months to save money. And look, it's pretty simple. Actually, one other thing, Britain has had four finance ministers in just 4 months. So what's pretty simple? Well, businesses have to have confidence. They have to know that the government has got their back. So if you know that your energy costs are going to be looked after by the government for the next 2 years, you kind of think to yourself, okay, I've got this debt, maybe I could take on more debt, it's going to be tough, but I can keep going. But then if there's no confidence and there's uncertainty about the energy costs, you think to yourself, there's no point. There's no future here. Why would I really work hard as an entrepreneur and employ people and give a service to the community if I'm probably going to lose money doing it? Why would I do that? And this is what you're going to see. So you're going to see even more businesses collapsing, more than we've seen already. Just think how many we've seen over the last couple of years. It's an absolute tragedy what we're seeing. And it's all self-inflicted, all of it. And it's interesting the data that's coming out now and all the people that are somehow coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh, I said in the first place, we shouldn't have done lockdowns. We should have done, this and that instead. I didn't say lockdowns. And it's like, yes, you did. Why are you coming out with this nonsense now saying you didn't agree with the lockdowns? They all agreed with the lockdowns. They all were behind it for their own various reasons, whether they thought it was the right thing, right through to scoring political points. They all agreed with it pretty much. Now, yeah, there was a few outliers that didn't, and they've proven to be correct around it, because what this has done is caused all sorts of other problems now. And just as we wrap up the video then, the British pound as of today is worth $1.12, so still pretty low. And for those of you Americans that might be watching, $1 is still at parity with the euro. So if you're going to Europe anytime soon, you're going to be pretty rich compared to what you would have been a few months earlier. And here's just the data that backs up today's video. So this is the UK CPI, so the Consumer Price Index. You can see how it's been running up over the last year. Here is the UK inflation rate, and we can see this on a max scale. And you can see it is just taking off like a rocket. But we have seen this little dip here, which shows that it may be starting to slow down a little bit. And then we have food price inflation, which backs up some of the other evidence we've looked at today, at 14.5%. And finally then, this is UK producer prices. So these are your input prices. Here is the data on that. All right. Well, thank you so much for watching today. I really appreciate you as a subscriber here. Take care. God bless. And I will see you tomorrow.